Good morning, everyone. You made it through the rain to come to church. I'm very proud of you today. We are celebrating water baptism at the end of the message today. That is super special. We have some candidates over here getting water baptized. Throughout all of our services today, we are baptizing 17 people. Come on, City Church. Which is so exciting. People who have already made that confession of faith in Jesus Christ are now going public with their faith, and we get to celebrate with them as our church family. This morning, before we started our first service, about an hour before our first service, we had a power outage here at the church. And, you know, as I was sitting up in my office, imagining, you know, we're not going to have any lights today. We'll figure some stuff out. Maybe we'll do cell phone lights on the stage. I don't know. And it got me thinking about the church in the past when they didn't have any power. But it also got me thinking about this, how dependent we are on certain things. And think about your job right now. How dependent is your job on the internet? Could you do your job if you weren't able to go online? And now there might be some jobs that would apply to, but the vast majority of us, we are so dependent on the internet to be able to do our job. And this series on prayer is one of the ways for us to think about, are we truly dependent on God? Are we depending on God for all things in our lives? Are we coming to God and asking him to be engaged in our lives? Are we spending time with him? And this is really what we want to talk about in this series, that prayer is really just the natural outgrowth of our relationship with God. Just like any relationship that you have in the world today, whether it's marriage or friendship, at the centerpiece of any good relationship is communication. And really that's what prayer is. It's us speaking to God, talking to God, not thinking that I have to like break off into King James English or something or screw up my face in some sort of religious manner to be able to talk to God. That, no, it's natural for me to talk to my loved ones and my wife and my children and my family. And it would be the same way. It should be natural for us to talk to God. It should be our first response in life. And really, this is what we're talking about in this series, that we want to engage God in every situation, to be communicating with him. So when we think about prayer as communication, it's not just a one-way thing. That yes, I'm speaking to God, I'm asking things in accordance to his will and in accordance with the word of God. But then also my expectation is that God is gonna answer, that he is gonna be speaking back to me. And one of the things that we said last week, that God is, the primary way God is gonna be speaking to us is through his word. We can always go to the word of God to find answers for our lives and situations that we're going through. But then also by extension, he's gonna be speaking to us by his spirit on the inside of us, the inner witness, the scripture says. But these two things align. So the Holy Spirit's not leading us to do things that are against the word of God. And the more familiar we are with the word of God, the more it'll be easy for us to understand what the spirit of God is saying. So there is this conversation happening when we pray, talking to God, and then God is speaking back to us. So a little bit in this series, we wanna talk and think about answered prayer. We wanna maybe answer some questions about unanswered prayer. I know sometimes people have gone through seasons of life where they feel like they've asked things and then prayers went unanswered and there was a little bit of frustration there. And then not only do we wanna talk about that, but we want to thank God for answered prayer, but then also realizing that we can be the answer, or we can be part of the answer to someone else's prayer. That as God is speaking to us by his word and by his spirit, that there are other people praying for certain things that we have in our lives, that we can actually be that conduit through which God answers prayer, whether it's resources or whether it's encouragement or various things like that, that we can be available to God. And this all stems from this relationship. As we continue to walk with God through prayer, we're speaking to him, and then he is speaking back to us. So we want to know and understand that really prayer should be a habit. It should be a practice. It shouldn't be a heavy thing. It's not a burdensome thing for us to be able to pray. Just like it's not hard for us to talk to our loved ones, it would be easy to talk to God. And so when we think about prayer, there are ways to pray that we would see in the scripture, and there are ways not to pray. What we don't wanna do is we don't wanna think about prayer as like foxhole prayers, as I mentioned last week. In other words, we find ourselves in a difficult situation, and so we start negotiating with God. We think, okay, God, if I stop doing this thing, then maybe you could do this thing for me. And so we don't want to think about prayer in those terms, that the word of God actually has instructions for us as it relates to prayer, ways to pray. And Jesus was very intentional about praying. Sometimes he would come apart. He would set time aside. We know that he was in the wilderness praying, the mountaintop in different places. Sometimes he would pray all night long. But then Jesus also had instructions for us. Here's how to pray. Now, when we think about prayer, there's a lot of different words in the scripture that are used for prayer, but they're kind of all under the category of prayer, different words like supplication. And really, supplication is just a specific need that we have, that we would go to God in accordance with his word. And we talked about this last week, that prayer doesn't start with what I want. Prayer starts with the word of God, with the will of God. And then based on his will and his word, then we come to God with the things that he's already promised us, the things that he told us to pray for. Intercession, really, intercession or an intercessor means a go-between, that I would be praying to God on someone else's behalf, maybe somebody who can't pray, maybe somebody who doesn't want to pray, that I would be interceding to God on their behalf. Thanksgiving, praise, worship. These are all things that us coming to God with a grateful heart. And we see these things connected in the scripture. Pray with thanksgiving, adding with thanksgiving, pray certain things, that we don't just come with an entitlement attitude towards God. We come with a grateful heart. We come with his word, not just our word. And we could just spend time praising God. The prayer of faith. The Bible talks about in James chapter 5, the prayer of faith will save the sick. But really, under the rubric of prayer, all of praying should be done in faith. In other words, I'm trusting God. Then I know that the word of God said that his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. So God hears me when I pray. I can believe that. I can put my trust in that as I am praying. Consecration, that we can be, you know, we have baby dedication. We're dedicating our children. We should be consecrating our lives. We see Jesus praying this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not the things that I want for my life, God, but what you want for my life, that I'm consecrating, I'm setting myself apart. Now, all of these are all different words, but they're all under the umbrella of the word prayer. And so as we see these different words in scripture, we can understand what they mean. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And this is how we started out last week, that in every situation, in all things, we should be praying. As we look at circumstances in our lives, in the province, in the nation, in the world, our first response should not be to worry and to be sad and to be upset about the future. But instead of that, taking that heart posture, the scripture saying, in everything, by prayer, we're gonna bring this thing to God. I'm not just gonna complain. I'm not just gonna give my opinion, but I'm gonna take this situation. I'm gonna bring it before God in prayer. And we should be doing these things in all situations, in all circumstances, in all seasons of life, wherever I find myself, whatever I'm going through, that my first response would be to pray. So last week, we talked about the idea of praying first. We talked about being watchful, being aware of the things that God is asking us to pray for, whether it's a friend, a family member, situations in the world. There's certain things that will show up in our heart, so to speak, and be like, oh, I really need to pray for that person. I really need to pray for that situation. And instead of just going to their social media feed to see how they're doing and see their situations, that we would actually pray for these individuals. We talked about alignment, as I already mentioned, that we don't just start with what I want in prayer, that we start with the will and the word of God. And these are the prayers that God hears. Not just what I'm thinking about, but God, what does your word say? How are you teaching me to pray? What are you teaching me to pray about? And then asking in alignment with that. All right, so today we're gonna talk about persisting in prayer, that we would pray and not give up, and then we would continually pray, and it would just be this practice in our lives. And like I said, I've noticed some people over the years, you know, they prayed, and the way they thought should be the culmination of the prayer, of the outcome, or what they thought God should do didn't happen in the timing that they thought, or circumstances didn't flip around in the way that they thought. And so they just kind of gave up on prayer. Like, well, what's the point in praying? But the scripture has a lot to say about us persisting, enduring in prayer. It is a principle in the scripture. And really, when we think about persistence, endurance, being steadfast, these are qualities that all Christ followers should bring to our lives, and not just certain aspects of our lives, but all aspects of our lives. Specifically, today, we're talking about prayer. We should endure and continue to pray. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says this: "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." Now, we all know that we're going to suffer things. We live in a broken world. The scripture, this is the story of the scripture, that the world as it is not how God intended it to be. Because of man's sin, that we are suffering through different things in our lives. So we're all going to be going through various things and through various seasons of our lives. But the scripture here tells us something, that suffering produces endurance. Now, how many know endurance is an important thing? Amen. That, and when we think about endurance, we think about a race. And we think about a race, what's important in a race? Is just starting the race important? Or is finishing important? Because anybody could start a race, right? Anybody could start. Everyone could be at the beginning, at the starting line. But the finish line is what's important. And this is what God is telling us to do. Liam over here, he's a long-distance runner. And he's always posting on his Instagram these long-distance runs. But one of the things that I noticed that he and his family are, they're always posting the finish line, the starting line. Who knows? Who cares? Who cares who starts? But it is the finish line that's the most important thing. And the only way for us to get to the finish line is to endure, to persist, that we are going through sufferings. We're not staying in the suffering. Amen? That God is leading us through to the other side, and he wants us to endure. He wants us to persist in prayer and not give up. I love this. Endurance produces character. Quitting is easy. Endurance is the most important thing. Endurance produces character when we are going through situations, not giving up, not just giving in to despair, not just giving in to a quitting mindset, but you know what? I am going to endure to the other side. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says this: "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scripture, we might have hope." So persistence, endurance, a good definition of this is staying in a course of action, not just starting, but finishing. I love this one definition: be stubborn. Now, don't be stubborn about bad things, but be stubborn in the sense that I'm just gonna keep praying. I'm just gonna keep asking in accordance with the will of God. I'm not going to give up on prayer. Continuing in commitment to bear bravely, and I love this, to remain. God has asked us to pray, to persist in prayer. So I'm going to remain in that attitude. We should remain in that attitude, even though we're confused about some things, even though we don't understand things that are happening in the world or happening in relationships or happening in people's lives, we never give up on prayer. So Jesus and his disciples were always talking about prayer. They were noticing Jesus' example, and he would ask them, or the disciples would ask Jesus, teach us about prayer. And here is one of these instances here in Luke 11, verse 1. It says this: "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.'" So John the Baptist had disciples, had followers, whom he taught how to pray. And so they're like, "Oh, this rabbi, this person taught us how to pray. Jesus, we want you to teach us. We're watching you pray. We want to pray like you. So help us to understand how to pray." And then what we're going to read here is what we call the Lord's Prayer. We're going to talk about this in a couple weeks, the elements of prayer that we should have in our prayer life. But let's read it here. "And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come.'" Verse 3, "Give us each day our daily bread." And there, by implication, prayer should be a daily practice, not just a Sunday thing, not just a church thing. That daily we should be coming to God for what we need. And that's what bread is, this natural sustenance of life. Verse 4, "And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, now he's about to tell them a story now. So they said, "Jesus teaches how to pray." And now he's going to give them a parable, an analogy to understand about the heart that we should bring to prayer. Because how many know this is important? Because again, should we? How do we pray? Do we break off into King James English? Do we have to sound really formal? Do I have to walk up a flight of stairs on my knees to be able to qualify to pray? Or does Jesus have something to tell us about the attitude that we're supposed to bring in prayer? So here he gave us a list of things about what to pray for. Now he's going to talk to us about the attitude that we should pray with. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. So here is the story, the setup that Jesus is giving us to help us to understand about prayer. So we have 3 people in this story. So we have a person who has a visitor show up at his house. And this person whose house is being visited, this guy doesn't have any food, so he's trying to be hospitable. And so he has another friend who lives close by, and he knows this guy always has food. I don't know how he knows, but he knows. So he goes to his house at midnight and he says, hey, lend me 3 loaves because I have somebody else show up at my house and I need to feed them. I don't have anything to feed them. And this story continues. Verse 7, and he will answer from within. So the guy's house that you're visiting at midnight, this guy, he said, don't bother me. The door is now shut and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. Verse 8, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything, but because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. So this word impudence is what the whole story hangs on. So he's not getting up out of bed to give him food because they're friends. He's getting up and he's giving him the food that he needs because of his impudence. The King James says importunity. And really this is 2 Greek words that they have made into 1 word. And these 2 Greek words are this, without shame. That this guy just showed up at my house and not because we're buddies. Because really if my buddy showed up, they'd be like, bro, go home. I mean, you're taking it too far. But just because he came without shame, he came with impudence, he came just boldly to my house, that's the reason that I'm getting up and I'm answering the door. And here Jesus is talking to us about prayer. How are we supposed to pray? We're supposed to pray without shame. We're not supposed to come like cowering down. We're not supposed to come with King James English. And we're going to see here in a second, we would come like we're coming to our Father. As I mentioned, my daughter's getting married here less than 2 weeks. And one of the things that's happened in the last little while, she just needs more money. And I've noticed she doesn't come to me, oh, thou wast wonderful Father, whom I love. Wouldest thou see fit in thine benevolence? Is that what she does? Like, Dad, we need more cash. You know what I mean? Like, it's without shame. I mean, we're going to put a limit. The time is going to run out, so we're going to spend less money, right? Gosh. but without shame. She's shamelessly asking for it. And this, like I said, pray for me, friends. This is what this whole story hangs on as it relates to how we should pray. This is the story Jesus is telling. And we'll see here, we get to the farther part here in a second. It says, I will tell you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks will be open. What father among you? So here Jesus brings it right down to a close relationship. I'm not trying to work my way into God's good graces. It's because God is full of grace, and he's wanting us to approach him like a father. What father among you, dads, think in the room, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? Now, this is really important to think about too. The things that we're asking for, God is not giving us the opposite. And we've seen this in our lives. We're asking for things and then life takes a right turn. Like life goes in the other direction. We know that God is not the source of those things. There is an enemy. We live in a broken world. God is not giving us the opposite of what we ask for. This is what fathers know. If he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? No, fathers don't do this. If you then, talking to dads in the room who are evil in comparison to God, this is who we would be, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And when we think about these three words, ask, seek, and knock, one of the commentaries I read said this is a present imperative. In other words, saying this is a continual thing. It's not just a one-time asking. It's not just a one-time seeking. It's just not a one-time knocking, but that we would continue to do it, that we would keep asking, that we wouldn't give up, because we can come without shame. Just like I would come to my Father, just like I would come to my Heavenly Father. Amen. That we would come without shame continually. Jesus tells us another story here in Luke chapter 18 along the same lines. Verse 1 says this, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So why is Jesus telling the disciples this story and then by extension us? That we should keep praying and not lose heart. So what's the potential? The potential is that we could give up. Something didn't work out. Some situation went awry. And we could just sort of think, oh, what's the point? But the point of this story that Jesus is about to tell us is that we should always pray. We ought to always pray and not to give up. Not to judge circumstances by my own eyes and how I think things should be or what I think God should have done in this situation. That our part is that we should always pray. The God part is the God part, right? God's part is the culmination of the prayers. God is the one who answers prayers. Our part is the asking. Listen to this story. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Then the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. And will not the Lord give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So in other words, we're gonna let God be the judge. We're gonna let God know what speedily means. I know what I think speedily means, but speedily is gonna be according to the timing of God. But I love what Jesus said. Nevertheless, will he find faith? So what is our part? Our part is to trust him. Our part is to keep coming, to continually ask, seek, and knock. Because aren't there situations in life that need to be changed? Are you here today? Man, there are. Are there questions you still have about life? Man, there's big questions. So what are we gonna do? We're gonna keep seeking. We're not gonna give up. We're not gonna be like the cynics and the critics that we ask questions that we think nobody can answer. And then we got you. No. That's no place of discovery for life. But when we keep on seeking, these are the things that God can ask, and then we just keep on knocking. We keep praying, amen? We never give up. Romans 12, verse 12 says this, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Man ought always to pray and not give up. That we keep praying. And finally this, before we dismiss our candidates for water baptism, talking here about Jesus, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with, everybody say it with me, endurance. Not quitting, not giving up. We're gonna make it to the finish line. The race that is set before us. Now, why can we do this? And why would we do this? Verse 2 tells us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Jesus endured the cross, took upon himself the sin of the world. And because he did that, we can endure in prayer. Can I get an amen? The whole foundation of our relationship with God is because of this, because Jesus endured the cross, took our place. Amen. And this is what we're celebrating today with our candidates. It's not that God takes good, bad people and makes them good. He takes dead people and makes them alive in Christ, because Jesus went to the cross for us. Amen. Praise God. Let's just pray today. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness today. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to endure in prayer. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do this alone, that your spirit is helping us, leading us, and guiding us. God, we on purpose, we are going to persist. We are not going to give up. We will endure because we know Jesus endured the cross, and we look to him for our strength. We look to him for our salvation. We look to him for our help. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, man. We're going to dismiss our candidates at this time. Guys, you can head out to the back to get ready for baptism.